today is from John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." The word of God for the people of God.
Happy Mother's Day, friends. I want to start just by acknowledging, I know Hallie did this already, but I want to celebrate all the moms here too and be a little broad in this. If you're a mom or a grandma, whether it's biological kids or stepkids, kids you mentor, if you are mothering people in your life, would you just stand up for a minute so that we can just celebrate you? I know it's a little awkward, but it's going to be great. We love you, moms. Thank you. And each of you moms can know that it was your kid who asked me to do that. That's their present to you today. And listen, I do know Mother's Day isn't a happy day for everyone. If you are struggling today after the service, I'd love to connect with you outside, pray with you, listen, and just connect if that's helpful. So you'll know where to find me. This is interesting because when they asked me if I could preach on Mother's Day, I was like, yes, I would love to, because my mom lives in Virginia and I can tell stories and not have to worry about her hearing them. And you know what? Hey, Mom, you want to wave back? She's sitting in the back because they decided to watch my kids for us and I'd already written my sermon. So this is going to be a lot of fun for all of us here. It's cool, cool, cool. And my mom is great. I mean, Mom, you're amazing. She's not perfect, but I mean, who is? And how could you be perfect with a kid like me? I mean, seriously, isn't that really the challenge for moms? It's the kids that are the problem. You know, when you get down to it, we're the ones who cause all the problems. And I think I'm the oldest of three. I've got two younger brothers. I think we were especially challenging for my mom. I remember when I was like, gosh, probably 12 years old. My next brother was 10. My youngest was, I don't know, 6 or 7. And my parents took us on a vacation down to the Outer Banks. And we got this great opportunity to get to do this, like, all-you-can-putt-putt experience, right? So my parents dropped us off. And this was, like, a big responsibility. I was only, like, 12 years old. So we got to putt-putt over and over again. We knew what time my mom was going to pick us up. So when that time got close, we stopped playing. We went into the little gift shop next door, and there was like a taffy machine. You know these little beachy places, right? There's shells and all these little junky toys and T-shirts and regular toys. There was a whoopee cushion, which we thought was the coolest thing ever. And then there was also a fake arm, like a prank arm. And we were like, what in the world would you do with this? And then because we were waiting, we're like, what in the world could you do with this? And we started devising plans, things we could do with this fake arm. But there was a problem, because we were kids and we didn't have any money and we had a great idea. So when my mom showed up, like I ran out and I was like, Mom, we want to buy you a present, but we don't have any money. Could you spot me some cash? And she, being a kind and wonderful mom, was like, sure. I was like, okay, we'll give it to you when we get home. We ran in and my brothers and I were all like, oh, this is gonna be the best thing ever. And we buy this fake arm and we get in the car. And it's like a 15-minute drive to put this plan in motion, which is terrible. I'm warning you in the front end. So we kind of sit, I'm in the back row. I'm wearing my the jacket I was very proud of, my Oakland A's jacket. And I start working that fake arm into one of the sleeves. And I know my mom has a rearview mirror, and any mom with kids is always checking on what they're doing, so I'm being real covert about it. And, you know, it takes like the whole 15 minutes, and I'm like, okay. And, you know, at a glance, it kind of looks like, you know, it fills in, and I don't think she's going to notice. And so when we pull up at home, we get to the place, we'd stage it so that my littlest brother was up front, and he was like, oh, mom, can you help me with this? And, you know, mom, she's like, sure. And she goes around to the side of the car. Only one side back then had sliding doors. So she goes around to that side. And then my 10-year-old brother, Brian, gets out of the car, and then he gets his hand on the door, and then I throw that sleeved fake arm out, and he slams the door shut harder than anyone has ever shut a door before on that arm. And my mom sees it and starts screaming, a kind of scream I've never heard before and never heard since, because it looks like she had, like, you know, he had chopped it off, and it was stuck in the door. And my mom is terrified, and we all start laughing. We start laughing, and we open the door, and we're like, Mom, we got you. And did you know she didn't think it was funny? Can you believe that? She didn't find any humor in it at all. She did forgive me for it. I think it was last Christmas, maybe. She did forgive me. She was very upset. Of course she was. But she forgave us pretty quickly, and she continued to love us, because isn't that what moms do, right? They love us. And I don't know what it is about us that causes us to grieve our moms that way. I don't know what the best word for it is. I thought a lot over the last month. I don't know, disrespect is not quite strong enough. Abuse means a lot of other things. So the word that I've settled on for today is betrayal, right? Because that's what that is. You know, moms love us before we're even born. They sacrifice and do so much for us. And then we show up even just as babies, and we're like, feed me, change me, here's my mess, here are all my demands. We do things like buying fake arms and shutting them in doors and borrowing their money to hurt their feelings. And I don't know exactly what your thing is that you've done many, many times, but you've done it. And I also don't know why it is that we betray our moms so much more than we do our dads, right? Like, what is it about that? Even in little ways. My wife and I, Jen and I, will be sitting in our house, and the kids will come up to her and be like, hey, mom, can you get me a glass of water? And I'm sitting right there, and they're like, hey, mom, can you move my shoes? Hey, mom, is there something in my backpack that you could go get for me? Hey, mom, hey, mom, hey, mom. She doesn't even have to be in the room. Our kids can be sitting on the couch next to me, and they'll be like, mom, can you get me some water? And I'm sitting right there. I don't know why we do this to our moms, but we do. And I think that's part of the reason we celebrate Mother's Day in such a big way, right? Because moms are the ones that we have hurt the most. And deep down, we know that they're the people we kind of treat the worst, and the people who still love us in the midst of it so well. And it's super appropriate to celebrate Mother's Day in the church because of what you heard in our scripture reading. Remember in the story of Jesus, he's a guy that loved everyone, right? And I don't mean loved everyone like Jesus is like, Nathan, he's my guy, he is the best. Or that Jesus is like, oh, Heather, she is so cool and I love her new hairstyle. Or like, oh, Ryan's the deal. Oh my gosh, you know? I don't mean Jesus is like fond of us, although I like to think maybe sometimes he is, at least to me. But you know, it's not that. Jesus tells us, actually in John 10:10, the very verse before that sets up Jesus telling us about being the good shepherd, Jesus says, my purpose is to give people a rich and satisfying life. Right? And Jesus loves us by doing all of the things it takes to give us that life. And how do we treat him in response? I mean, I don't know about you, but we can actually look in the Bible and see how different people treated Jesus. Jesus's best friends, what did they do? They betrayed him. I mean, Judas sold him out for some cash. They pretended they didn't even know him when he was in the worst moments. They renounced him. And at his greatest hour of need, Jesus wept alone because his friends had bailed on him. Betrayal. Jesus's family, his brothers, talk smack about him. And in John 7:5, we see that even his own brothers did not believe in him. And in Mark 3:21, his family said, Jesus is out of his mind. I mean, they just sold him out. And Jesus's community, the very people who welcomed him into Jerusalem with this royal processional, are the very people who betrayed him and voted to put him on a cross, to send him to death. And despite all those betrayals, what did Jesus do? He loved them. He He actively loved them. I mean, look at his disciples, the way he treated them. I was thinking about this sitting here a few weeks ago in the sermon, listening about how Jesus restored Peter. Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep." He asked three times because Peter had betrayed Jesus specifically three times right before the cross, and Jesus wanted to restore him. Jesus forgave him, and he loved him those three times. Despite the disrespect, despite the abuse, despite the betrayal, Jesus actively loved them, which is amazing. And so he discipled them, he healed them, he taught them, he fed them. He worked for their benefit over and over and over again. And then he died for them, and then he rose for them. And friends, that's what he did for us. That's what he does for us. And Paul wrote in his first letter to Timothy, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. I am the worst. Do you ever feel that way about yourself? I do. You know, gosh, I am the worst. It became a running joke. I said it so much to my friends and coworkers. They were like, yeah, we know. But I mean, seriously, I think we all feel that when we're being honest with ourselves, especially in those low moments that come right after or maybe even mid-betrayal. Like, I am the worst. I actually remember a time when I was struggling with one of my grades in school. My report card came home. My parents were not happy. This actually happened a lot. So right now my parents are both like, which time? This was a frequent occasion. But this time I told them it was okay. I just missed one really big assignment about the Battle of Manassas, and that is why my grade was low, which was true. But then I also told them that I just needed to turn that assignment in and my grade would be fine, which was not true. So my mom drove me to the battlefield, which was kind of a hike away from where we lived in Virginia, and we traipsed around in the middle of a very, very cold, wintry day, doing all the field research I had to do for this assignment. And I remember my mom over and over again as we're like marching over these battlefields with the fences, just going like, this is really crazy. Like, why is your teacher sending us out? We were the only ones on the field that day. She's like, why is she sending us out? This doesn't make sense. And she was correct. It did not make sense because this was not quite the assignment. In fact, it had been assigned a long time ago and it was due a long time ago. And the last time I could submit it for late credit was a long time ago. And I was just sure it would work out, and it did not work out. So when my mom found out that despite all the work she had put in, because let's be honest, it's the moms who put in half the work for homework, right? All the editing, all the support, all the sacrifice of her time, and I turned in that amazing assignment, and I got an amazing zero on it still, and my grade did not change. She, again, was not happy because I had betrayed her. But do you know what? The next time that I needed help, do you know who was there to help me with my homework? My mom. And she was there for years helping me with my homework because I needed a lot of help. And she was there to help me when I knew I needed it. And she was there to help me when I didn't know I needed it. Because that's what a good mom does. She sees the dangers and needs of the kids, the dangers and needs that the kid knows about, and the dangers and the needs that kids can't even see, don't even recognize, don't even realize. And when kids screw it up, mom just keeps at it. And that's what Jesus does. He sees the dangers that we don't. He sees the dangers that we do. He sees when we're the danger. And there's a lot of words that we can use to describe all the different ways we screw up: betrayal, disrespect, abuse. And the Lord's Prayer, which we just prayed together, we say, forgive us our sins, forgive us our trespasses, because that is what we do to each other, right? And that's what we do to God over and over and over and over and over and over again and again. We screw it up. We betray our neighbors and we betray God, but Jesus still loves us. And Jesus still works for our benefit in the midst of it. So friends, I want to remind you of three very important things today. First, Jesus loves you. He really does. No matter what betrayals you have brought about, whether they're to your mom or other people in your family or your friends or your coworkers or your neighbors or the people you cut off in traffic, whatever it is, whoever you have betrayed. And I know, honestly, I know someone in here is thinking, he doesn't mean me. What I did was too bad. But I promise you, it wasn't. Jesus still loves you, and he is still ready to forgive you. Second, Jesus loves you for a purpose. He loves you so that you can love others. Jesus is not like a shepherd hobbyist, right? He's not doing this because it's something he likes to do in his free time. No, his purpose, what he said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Jesus' purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. And we have a purpose too, one that we can't experience without Jesus. We are here to love God, and we are here to love our neighbors. And we cannot do that without repenting, which just means turning from the things that lead us to betray others to Jesus instead. And without receiving his love, we'll never experience his purpose. And lastly, I want to remind you today, most especially, that Jesus loves you so that if you're able, you can love your mom too. So friends, let me pray for us. God, we are thankful that you are clear and direct with us. We are thankful that you love us. We are thankful that Jesus is here to love us so that we can love others. And we are thankful that when Jesus spoke these parables so that we could see more clearly that God, in your wisdom, you also put people in our lives to help model for you, to model for us, to help give us examples so that we can understand what love like Jesus means, often in the form of moms, but consistently in the form of some people around us, God. Help us to receive that love, to open our hearts to a position of repentance so that we can follow you, so that we can love others. God, thank you for the work you've done in our lives, and let us be agents of love and change in others as well, please. Amen.